T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. Welcome in. Thank you, Nicholas Handsome, for that update. This is a Brendan Dar Tom Daly production. We are happy to be with you as we steamroll toward the weekend and another Redskins game in Nolens against the Saints. One of my favorite road trips I ever made while covering the Redskins.
That city is really, really cool. Now, everybody does the Bourbon Street and the, you know, the kind of standard stuff where you drink hurricanes on the street and you have big, huge-ass beers to go, all that kind of stuff. The food in that city. It's a food city. You go to the real restaurants, not just the tourist traps. Our buddy Christian Pendleton, who used to run a number of restaurants up here, like Nopa and Rasika, and he was just the superstar of that restaurant group, is down there running one of their famous restaurant spots. I forget the name of it, actually. I'm embarrassed. But that's why you go. It's like one of the marquee food destinations worldwide.
It's very good. I've always kind of found New Orleans, for me, to be a kind of 3 days and you're out situation.
Yeah.
A little bit like Las
Vegas. You get a
Vegas.
Cold. Yeah.
You're there. You go as hard as you can for as long as you can, and you get right back on that bird.
What day is this?
But it is a great place. And if you're making the trip down, I know a lot of Redskins fans, I've been talking to a few of them online the last couple days, are actually going to New Orleans for the game. Hopefully you get the same result as so many of those fans did in 2012 when they watched the Robert Griffin, Pierre Garçon debut, Kyle Shanahan's offense lighting it up for 40, and the Saints falling in the Superdome. Last night, Thursday Night Football, was entertaining if you were a Steelers fan. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 40. The Tennessee Titans, 17. I asked on Twitter last night, who do we learn more about in this game? And I think it's Tennessee, because yesterday on the show I mentioned the Titans had the easiest schedule to this point in football. They were 6-3, and if you go back and look at who they've beaten, who they've lost to, who they've played, they've basically had an all-year-long cakewalk. I think they are completely fraudulent. I just don't think they're that good.
I think they're very okay. So
right.
the game was on last night, and then the wife and I, she's kind of like puttering around. She said, you know, how are the Titans? And it took me a while to answer the question.
Did you do one of the things where, like, I ask something about an NBA team and then you have to go on for a long time, or Lord of the Rings? Or was it actually that you didn't know how to answer it?
Well, I'll just tell you what I said. I was like hemming and hawing. I was like, well, they're 6-3. She goes, oh, that's good. I said, but wait. They're very okay. Like, if I was to describe them, I would say they're definitely a team. They're definitely in the NFL. They're in a division. They've played some games. They're no threat to do anything special. They're also no threat to bottom out and be in last place. They're around. They're on someone's schedule almost every week unless they have a bye. They're just a group of people that hang out and don't embarrass themselves.
Tennessee can look very good on weeks where they run the ball. And I don't mean where they try to run the ball. I mean when they successfully run the ball and DeMarco Murray goes for 100-plus yards and Derrick Henry goes for 60 or 70 yards and Marcus Mariota's handing it off and using play action to make easy throws, they're going to be pretty good. On weeks where you stop their running game, and that's what Pittsburgh did last night, and Mariota has to beat you, he will not and they will not.
Yeah, tell me more about Corey Davis and the impact he's going to have, please.
Right.
I'd love to hear about that.
Rishard Matthews had the 75-yard touchdown catch to start the third quarter for them on a 6-target game. You take that away, Mariota was 0 touches, 4 picks, and 225 yards in the game.
Ew.
Just an awful performance on national TV for him. But again, this is kind of what you get from this team if they're not running the ball. If it's a drop back and pass day, they lose handily. Now, as far as Pittsburgh goes, I want to get your read on the Steelers. Roethlisberger's numbers ended up being great. 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Antonio Brown had a field day, went for 10 catches and a 144, scored 3 times. And Le'Veon Bell was heavily involved in the passing game with 9 catches. Only got, surprisingly enough, 12 carries. The Steelers in the first half specifically had some hard time sustaining drives.
They also wanted to rotate them on short rest.
Weren't on the field very often. That's true. Yeah, they gave, I think, 6 or 7 carries to other backs. But Roethlisberger in the first half kind of cemented how I feel about him.
Mm.
He does not pass the eye test. Now, I know in the end, he threw 4 touchdowns and the numbers were pretty good. I feel like he has lost his fastball as a pitcher. I think he's lost velocity on his throws. His mobility has dwindled completely. He's a bigger-bodied guy who relied on extending plays. He takes a long time in the pocket, but he used to be elusive and get out of a lot of pressures. I didn't really see that. This is not to say they can't win in the playoffs or they can't win the Super Bowl with him right now, but I think if Ben Roethlisberger used to be an 8 out of 10, he's now like a 6.5, 7 out of 10. He has dropped off.
It's those he's in the grasp, he ducks out because he's so strong, he's like a big giant bull back there and kind of slides around in the pocket or moves to the side, makes a weird off-angle throw. Now they're just incomplete throwaways. Now they're just either sacks or he doesn't have the magic that he once did. And I know he played great last night, so it seems, especially in the second half, and the numbers turned out really well, so it seems weird to pile on, you're right. But if you've watched them a few times this year, you'll notice it just, the operation doesn't look like it should. And this kind of relates to the Redskins for a second. When you think about this ongoing sort of weird circle dance like Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock had to do when they had to face off, that Kirk doesn't want to take too many risks and throw too many 50-50 balls. Jay's like, screw it, man. Give those guys a shot. Well, Ben Roethlisberger did that last night, except he's got the best receiver on the planet in Antonio Brown to win some of those things. There are a couple, you know, of an offside. So he just threw it up for grabs, and Antonio Brown jumped in between two guys and scored a touchdown. You just kind
of
go.
He also threw three or four of them to Martavis Bryant, none of which he came down with, but he almost caught each of them. And every one of them from the new angle, which we'll talk about in a second, looked like an interception out of his hand.
Yeah. So I'm going, what a terrible idea. The safety's right there. But that's the kind of the idea. If you've got good receivers that you trust, you can do that. And if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, I will give 84 a chance all the time. I would do that. When in doubt, throw it out.
Apparently, this was a scalding take. I didn't think it was at all. But apparently this was hot. This was Skip Bayless hot, and I didn't know it. You be my counsel here.
All right, here we go.
I tweeted this last night. I have always thought that Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, very similar. There's a lot of other guys in this boat, right? Limited throwers in the pocket. If their teams aren't running the ball and it's just a drop back and pass it game, they're going to struggle. But I call them great playmakers, not good passers. And I pointed out that one of the two of them got benched, and the other one is still beloved. Like if you say something negative about Marcus Mariota, you get a lot of blowback. People get very upset. I said one of the biggest reasons why is their draft status. Mariota was taken second overall. Tyrod Taylor was a late-round pick, was in his second organization, and was never expected to be anything. But if you look at their numbers in their career or this season or at any point, really, they're very similar. Now, numbers can be completely misleading. Tyrod Taylor puts up some garbage time, passing yards, and what have you. I understand that you can't go based on the numbers. But I think just from the standpoint of what they do well, what they do poorly, the offenses they're in, how much they run the ball, the fact that they're two of the guys in the league that struggle to get to 3,000 passing yards the last couple years, I think that it's very similar situations, offenses, styles. I mean, you would have thought that I was saying something like personally offensive to one of these two guys yesterday.
It's so weird who gets the rush to the defense treatment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you're allowed to attack so many different players, you know, at various levels. An attack is the wrong word. This is an observation where you go, hey, this is the playing style of a person. You sign up for certain things. For example, Marcus Mariota, I wouldn't mind having if I was a bunch of teams because of that touchdown run that he had where a cornerback blitzed, Marcus Mariota's flat-footed,
yep.
The guy's running at him, Mariota starts when the guy's already sprinting at him and is able to outrun him, shake a guy, dive into the end zone. You go, that's pretty special.
Someone asked me yesterday, would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Blake Bortles? Because I was talking about how Tyrod Taylor's not a good passer. I said, well, I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor, and I would just run the ball 30 times and design my offense like Buffalo did, and I'd be right around a 500 team every year. They said, what about Mariota or Bortles? I would still probably right now go with Marcus Mariota. And in fact, I'm sure I would. But to me, it's okay to also say these guys need those running games. That's not a terrible thing, by the way. Who knows what Robert Griffin could have been if the Redskins kept doing what they were doing in 2012. Accentuate their skill set, move them around, move the pocket. The problem is always going to be, Danny, though, when you've got to drop back and throw it and everybody knows it, can you do it?
This is what I say all the time. This is what the league is. This is why I would always go for the highest upside, which is the ability when the whole world knows. It's 3rd and 8 in the fourth quarter. You're down a touchdown. You need a first down.
And play
what are you
action
do?
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
And there's no misdirection nonsense in the backfield. And you're not running read option. you are in the gun and you're making a big time throw.
Yep. And they're blitzing six, and you got to make this adjustment, this side adjustment, put this ball in this spot. Can you do it? That's to me what it always boils down to.
But is he better than he played last night? Of course. The four interceptions.
Yeah, that was a terrible game.
That was a terrible game. He's a fine quarterback, just like Tyrod Taylor is a fine quarterback. Should both of them be starters in the NFL with 32 vacancies if there was a fantasy draft and every team had to find one? Yeah, probably. I think both should be starters. There aren't 32 adequate passers in the league. But you just got to know their limitations, and you got to stay out of games like last night where you got to throw the ball. One of the real cool things about last night was the debuted camera angle, and we knew that NBC was going to go to this more because, remember, in the fog game, when it was the Seahawks playing the Cardinals, I believe it was.
Is that what it was?
There was so much fog on the field, or maybe it was the New England Patriots. I don't remember, but whoever played in that game, there was so much fog so low over top of the field that they had to use the camera behind the quarterback, basically the Madden angle, if you will, constantly in the game. And the executives really liked the way it looked, and they got some good feedback from fans, and so they said, well, we'll start using this more. So last night, the play and the coverage was dominated by this camera hanging right behind the quarterback.
People are flipping out over it.
They were losing their minds. I want to get your thoughts on the angle last night. Basically, an all-22 look from what the quarterback is seeing as if you're playing Madden. That's what it looked like. Did you like it or not? 800-636-1067. We'll give you our thoughts next as well. At 11 o'clock, we'll get you ready for fantasy football with Andy Behrens. And in about 15 minutes, what do the Redskins have to do to beat the Saints, who's got to be great? You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.